local businesses.
Listen to the actual Yelp review by Paso Robles Glass from our happy customer. I had a tough time deciding whether it was worth the money to replace my single-pane aluminum windows with new efficient ones. Only so much money and multiple things that could be updated in my house. Brandon and Steven just left my house after spending 2 days putting in all the new Milgard Trinzic windows. Best money I have ever spent. I never imagined new windows could change the look of a house so much. The best part was all the time that Brandon and Steven took, showing pride in their work, making sure I was taken care of as their customer. The customer service they provided made every dollar I spent worth it. I would recommend Paso Robles Glass and their staff to anyone looking to get glass work done. Too bad more companies don't operate and care about their customers like Paso Robles Glass does. A really refreshing experience. Signed by our customer, Eric R.
Paso Robles Glass, the Milgard Replacement Window Masters. Call for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic Windows and Doors. 805-238-4014.
Fox Sports Updates brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new dinner specials on Thursday through Saturday. And check out the great new golf shop.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
Minnesota Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold is expected to start Sunday against the Green Bay Packers after an MRI showed no structural damage to his injured left knee. The NFL Network says it's just a bone bruise for Darnold, who missed just one play because of the injury during yesterday's win over the Texans to move Minnesota to 3-0. X-rays on the ankle of Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert came back negative after he was pulled from yesterday's game against the Steelers. Browns defensive end Myles Garrett's going to have an MRI on his injured feet and lower legs after having to leave yesterday's game against the Giants. NFL Network says Browns guard Wyatt Teller is going to be out at least 4 weeks with a sprained knee and could be headed to injured reserve. Double dose of football tonight to wrap up week three. Jaguars at the Bills, Commanders at the Bengals. Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian says they won't have a decision on whether quarterback Quinn Ewers plays in their SEC opener against Mississippi State until later this week. If he can't go, Arch Manning gets the start again.
Fox Sports update on KPRL. Brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials. And check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your Agribusiness Update. The California Department of Food and Ag reports highly pathogenic avian influenza has now been confirmed in 5 new Central Valley dairies, with 2 more presumptive positive cases pending. If the presumptive positive cases are confirmed, it moves the total from 8 to 10 dairies that have tested positive for HPAI. 15 dairies have tested negative. California confirmed its first 3 cases of bird flu in dairy cows August 30th. While the 2024 Farm Bill has been stalled for months, the legislative logjam is showing a few signs of breaking after key ag groups took to Capitol Hill to share the economic reality facing farmers and ranchers. In a letter to House Ag Committee Democrats, ranking member David Scott said, "We all know that Congress needs pressure to act. That's why Chairs Thompson and Stabenow, ranking member Bozeman, and I agree we are better off without another extension at this point." The USDA says wheat sales for the week ending September 12th came in at 474,900 metric tons, up 40% from the previous week and 11% from the 4-week average. Exports at 543,200 metric tons was down 15% from the previous week and 1% from the 4-week average. The top buyers were Taiwan, the Philippines, South Korea, Japan, and Mexico.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has reneged on its promise to let America's cattle ranchers choose the type of animal identification device that best fits their operations. Ranchers can now use low-cost ear tags, or they can use the high-cost electronic identification, or EID, ear tags, giving ranchers the choices of fundamental value we all understand. But the USDA wants a one-size-fits-all system, and beginning November 5th, ranchers will be forced to use high-cost EID ear tags when shipping adult cattle across state lines. This freedom and liberty-stripping mandate must be stopped. Congresswoman Harriet Hagman and U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis, both from Wyoming, have introduced resolutions to overturn this mandate, and they need your help. Please call your members of Congress and urge them to support the resolutions of disapproval that will overturn the USDA's EID mandate. You can reach your members of Congress by calling 202-224-3121 and ask for them by name. This message is brought to you by RCAF USA.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Susan Lee, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks mixed as Wall Street comes off a strong week fueled by the first interest rate cut from the Fed in 4 years. Today, Fed Presidents Rafael Bostic, Neil Kashkari, and Austin Gouldsby supported the central bank's latest rate cut and voiced support for more cuts for the rest of the year. On the data front, U.S. business activity was steady in September, but the average prices charged for goods and services increased at the fastest clip in 6 months, potentially signaling a pickup in inflation in the coming months. Constellation Energy shares are wavering after jumping 22% on Friday after Constellation struck a 20-year deal to reopen the Three Mile Island nuclear plant to help power Microsoft AI centers. Today, a Wells Fargo analyst also said that Constellation stock has more room to rise. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
In order to leave the Soviet Union, a Soviet citizen must have 900 Russian rubles for a visa and more courage than is normally allotted to humankind. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Russian law and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights fully entitle a citizen of the Soviet Union to an exit visa, meaning permission to leave there and live in another country. As a matter of fact, that Helsinki Pact they talked us into signing contains their pledge to let people live where they want to. Like yesterday's newspaper, the Helsinki Pact should be used for wrapping garbage. Literally thousands of Soviet citizens are in concentration camps for trying to obtain an exit visa. For other thousands, the price for seeking a visa is automatic dismissal from their jobs. One of the latter is Ida Nubel, born in Russia in 1931. She is Jewish. In a letter to a Soviet official, she wrote, "I was born and raised here. I am part of this land. But I am also part of another land as well, a land that is the dream of my people." Ida Nubel wants to go to Israel, wants to be a part of making the ancient prophecies of her religion come true. When she first applied for a visa in 1971, she was fired from her job in Moscow's Institute of Planning and Production. The excuse for not granting her a visa was that she is privy to state secrets. Ida Neubel's job was studying the standards of hygiene in food shops and the control of infection in various foods. She says, "The greatest secrets I had access to were where rats and mice build their nests." For 5 years, she's been without a job. In January 1975, she married Yul Brynd, who had obtained an exit visa before he met Ida. He was forced to leave Russia without her, and now lives in Israel. She is constantly watched, followed, and arrested for no reason whatsoever. In one 15-day period, she was arrested 5 times. In Moscow, arrests of this kind aren't what you see in Kojak on TV. Over the years, she has been forcibly seized, thrown into dark basement rooms, often disrobed and beaten on the pretense of a weapon search, left for days without food, lying on a vermin-infested floor. Ida Neubel is 45 years of age and has a history of heart trouble, but her medical card has been stamped alcoholic, which she is not. In the Soviet Union, that is standard practice for anyone they might want to bury in a mental institution. You'd think her own troubles would be all she had time for, but then we don't know this frail little 45-year-old lady. She is fondly referred to as the little angel by those imprisoned in labor camps. She sends them soup cubes, vitamins, medicines, and letters to boost them physically and spiritually. One prisoner after his release said, "There is no woman on earth whom we value more." She has written countless letters to Brezhnev and other leaders of the workers' paradise, not in her own behalf, but begging for the freedom of others and their right to leave Russia. Why don't we write some letters in behalf of Ida Neubel to the Soviet ambassador, the Soviet embassy, Washington, D.C.? It might worry him a little about detente to know how we feel. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
This is Dakota Livesay chronicling another true story taken from the 1800s, a time known to all as the Old West. Not all Old West outlaws practiced their outlawry in the West. Today's story is about a Wyoming cowboy who learned his daring in the West but went back east to practice it.
Greetings everyone, this is Jim with Roosters Firearms bringing you some great news. The Second Amendment violation of your right to buy as many firearms as you want, referred to as the one gun every 30 days in California law, has been struck down by the court. You can now buy as many guns as you want, when you want, and as often as you want. How about that? So, I have a sale going on. Citadel Home Defense Shotguns, 12-gauge, short-barreled with synthetic stock, and the price, get this, $199. Now here's the deal. I only have 10 in stock, so come on down and get yours before they run out. Terry wanted me to let everyone know that she just received a new order of Roosters logo t-shirts in various sizes, both in long and short sleeves, and some of them have a chest pocket. And Terry also wanted me to let you know that she continues to get in new and different types of Black Rifle coffee, so come on down and see the selection with the holidays coming up. Come on over and see us at 98 South Main Street in beautiful and historic downtown Templeton, or catch us on the web, roostersfirearms.com.
Curtis Perry was a Wyoming cowboy who went back east and committed a train robbery by himself that was remarkable. It was September 20, 1892. In the midst of a hailstorm, Perry slid down a rope outside a New York Central Express car and broke through the window. He knocked out the messenger, and as he was trying to open the safe, a trainman noticed what was happening and called the alarm. The train was stopped and searched. No Oliver Perry was found. A group of 50 armed men was assembled to hunt down Perry. As they were being given instructions, the conductor noticed Perry standing on the edge of the crowd as if he were a member. As the conductor yelled out the alarm, Perry jumped to the cab of a nearby freight engine and started it down the tracks. The posse followed in another train on a parallel track. As the posse train approached, Perry put his in reverse. The posse followed. Back and forth, the trains went several times until Perry abandoned his and commandeered a horse and buggy. The posse followed in their horses and buggies. For 25 miles, Perry ran his horses into the ground, commandeering more. The posse did the same. The whole time, shots were exchanged with no one being hit. With no more horses to commandeer, Perry took to a swamp. Up to his waist in water, surrounded by the posse and out of bullets, Perry finally gave up. A Pinkerton superintendent said of him, "I would call Perry the nerviest outlaw I ever heard of. There were few Western bad men who possesses his courage." You've just heard another story from Old West Radio. I'm Dakota Livesay.
Hi, I'm Wesley Dawes with Stove & Spa Center, and it might be hot now, but winter is just around the corner. So Stove & Spa Center is having a huge 36th anniversary stove, insert, and fireplace sale. We're overstocked, so don't miss out on big savings on quality cast wood and gas stoves by Hearthstone. How would you like being warmer this next winter and save money too? It's possible with a gas or wood stove from Hearthstone. Hearthstone's highly efficient wood and gas stoves come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Hearthstone stoves and inserts during Stove & Spa Center's big sale. All the products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Hearthstone stoves during Stove & Spa Center's 36th anniversary sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove & Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curbrail and Moore Roads.
The Creston Community Church will be hosting its second annual Fall Women's Ministry Conference October 18th and 19th. Deanna Ramsey, who has spoken at Hume Lake, is going to take the ladies on a journey of being rooted in faith and grace. She will show how God loves us and has plans for us. Dinner on Friday, breakfast and lunch Saturday. The Creston Community Church is on O'Donovan Road. For more information, contact Becky Nunez at beckynunez0123@gmail.com or go to crestonchurch.com.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will in studio with our special guest this afternoon, Brent Poppin. He is a North County, not native, but he's been in the North County for more than a couple of years. And he is an American disability advocate, author, substitute teacher, and also a Paralympian. Brent, welcome to Sound Off, and it's been a few years, but thanks for coming back.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite. It's always nice to come here and share a little bit.
Okay, so you're a busy person, number one, with the author, substitute teacher, and athletic, and helping out many people that you've had over the years. But let's start how this journey started when you were 16 years old, and why we're at this point right now.
Yeah, 16, living in Long Beach, playing baseball at Millikan High School, which is renowned for their baseball history, a lot of CIF championships, a lot of pro athletes have come out of Millikan High School. It wasn't the high school I was supposed to go to, but I was persuaded to go to that baseball high school so I could pursue my dreams of playing baseball at the next level, which at that would have been Long Beach State, being a dirtbag, which is what Long Beach State is called.
So in other words, El Segundo High School couldn't get you, right?
No. I was definitely a Long Beach kid and had dreams of playing at Millikan ever since I was a young kid.
All right. So like all kids or most kids, when they play sports in high school, they
dream to the next level and then the level beyond that and so forth. And were you close to getting a baseball scholarship?
I feel confident that I would have made it to the college level for sure to play at some level in college. I got hurt before the baseball season started my junior year. We were supposed to start on the Friday. The week before I got hurt, I was up at a church camp, Hume Lake. And as I was getting on the bus, the coach came up to me and said, "Hey, Brent, don't do anything dumb up at the church camp. You're opening for us on Friday." And I remember telling my coach, "Coach, I'm not going to do nothing dumb. Like, we're just going to a church camp. Like, it's just my youth group. I'll be all right." And there I had the wrestling accident, just goofing off with another kid from a school district that ended up at a cervical level 5, 6, 7, which rendered me incomplete quadriplegic.
And as we talked about before you came on air, this is one of these things when you think about the wrestling, the accident, is this was a 1 in 1,000 that, you know, if you do it 99,000 or 999 times, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, it was definitely a freak accident. I think about, you know, as a kid falling off roofs, getting up and walking away, falling off fences, getting hit by cars, having, you know, all the things that a boy would do growing up in Long Beach and walking away from all those different accidents or injuries, and then just picking a kid up wrong and falling over ended up changing the course of my life.
How soon after this accident happened did you know that for the foreseeable future that your dreams were gone?
Yeah, I mean, I always share with the kids, I'm also a counselor at Valley Children's Hospital, the rehab counselor. Mm-hmm. So I share with those kids, or if I'm speaking somewhere, that your body goes into shock. And I think that's your body's way of protecting you from remembering what happened and also dealing with any pain that's associated with that injury. Because my memory is laying on my left shoulder, everything tingling a little bit, where I felt like I was curled up in a ball. But the friends that I'm still in contact with, when I share that story, they remind me that I'm completely wrong. I was laid out on my back with my arms and my legs stretched out. So even what my initial memory was is not correct. So my first inkling that something was terribly wrong was being in the ambulance and having the paramedic dealing with breathing issues and blood pressure and all the different words I remember hearing. He was just kind of gently rocking me back and forth and wanted me to keep my eyes open. So he was just talking to me and asking me questions about baseball, asking me questions about my mom, my dad, my name, my high school. And my initial memory is I was in such a peaceful state that I've never felt before. I remember thinking, I just want this guy to shut up, because I didn't know if I was going to make it or not, but I wanted just to embrace that feeling that I've never had since.
That's interesting. And I'm just, have you over the years shared that conversation with people that something similar happened to, and they said, "Hey, yeah, I understand what you're talking about"?
Yeah, not necessarily in such detail, but when I'm dealing with kids that have gone through something very traumatic at the hospital, they'll talk about a moment where they just feel almost comfortable with what's going to happen. And I think part of it is not understanding how injured we were or they are at that time. And then you come out of that, and then you have to start dealing with reality. And I remember being at the first hospital I was at. I think it was Fresno Community, because at that time, Children's Hospital back then was not where it is now. It was downtown. It was a smaller facility. And come to find out, they actually denied me coming there because I needed such critical care. They wanted me to go to a place that had a higher level care than they did. Or maybe because I was such a big kid that they didn't want me at Children's Hospital. I'm not sure the exact reason. But I remember there when the doctor told me that I had a spinal cord injury. And at that time, I couldn't move anything from my shoulders down. And he said that you were going to be paralyzed for the rest of your life.
You remember your initial reaction?
Yeah, I was frightened. I was scared for a couple reasons. The word paralysis scared me as an athlete. I just thought my life was over. I didn't know anything about Paralympics. Didn't know anything about wheelchair sports. Didn't really have a friend in a wheelchair, so I didn't know that what existed in that world. And then the camp is up in the Fresno Mountains, So me living in Long Beach, my parents were still in Long Beach, and the Grapevine was closed. It was February 18th, 1990. There was a bad storm. So it took my folks many, many hours to get up to me. So being in the hospital by myself and hearing those words, I think, was just added on to the drama of the situation.
So you're now 16, 17 years old. Your life has changed directions in a New York minute. Then you proceed to London. Let's see. When were you able to gather yourself and, let's just say, as the competitor in you, say, okay, this is the deal, we're going to have to do this?
Yeah, I remember being at, after being at the hospital up in Fresno just for a couple days, my folks eventually got up there, and they had arranged for a LifeLight plane to take me down to Long Beach Memorial, where I was able to do my rehab. My sister, who's 6 years older than me, so she was in her early 20s at that time, kind of made all the calls for the family. My mom and dad were having a hard time with the injury, and she just wanted me to do my rehab somewhere local in Long Beach where all my friends could come visit me. She thought that was important, that my local sports teams, my high school, and I'm very thankful that she made that decision, because there's lots of spinal cord facilities around the country. When they hear about, you know, a possible high-profile athlete, so to speak, someone who could have a great recovery, they want you at their facilities. And I'm thankful my sister chose to keep me in Long Beach with my friends. So my first memory of thinking, you know what, I'm going to get through this, is when the rehab counselor showed me down there at Long Beach Memorial, showed me at that time, a VHS video that was grainy and not clear, of a sport called wheelchair rugby. And I saw people getting knocked over on a basketball court in their rugby chairs. And that was when there's a short documentary on my life. And my sister says the light in my eyes didn't come on till I was introduced to wheelchair sports. And when I saw people getting knocked over, that was when kind of lit a fire. And I thought, okay, there's a chance for me to be an athlete again. Had no idea what kind of athlete I could be.
So at a fairly young age, not too long after this occurred, you kind of accepted, what was to be or what was to come?
Yeah, I think part of that was having the support from my church, having the support from all my high school teams, having the support from my high school. I mean, there were so many kids coming to visit me that they literally had to organize in smaller groups to come see me because it was overwhelming in the lobby. And that was a big part of me overcoming. And I remember I spent 3 months in the hospital. I got hurt February 18th. Got out May 23rd, the day before my 17th birthday. And when I was in rehab, there was a moment when I was by myself and I just felt like I was at a Y in my life. And I just remember thinking, I can make two choices. I could choose to be angry and happy and go down that path, or do the best with what I have and make the best life possible. And I was thankful to have the support to kind of help guide me to make that positive turn.
Well, not only that, but you decided, You went to college, you got a degree, and then you went on from there and became, probably in your unwildest dreams, you became an Olympian.
Yeah, two-time Olympian.
And a medal winner as well.
And a medal winner in wheelchair rugby. I got to roll my wheelchair on top of the Great Wall of China in Beijing. That was one of those life-changing moments for me. But I remember being home from the hospital, and my mom coming up to me and just asking me to please get my college degree. At that time, no one in our family had a college education. And she just was very aware and said, there's going to be things in life that you can't do because you're in a chair. There's going to be opportunities that you just don't have. And if you get your college degree, that'll open as many doors as possible. And I could kind of see, not the worry, but I could see what my mom was saying. And when I made that promise to my mom, that was definitely my first commitment, was to get my 4-year degree.
Well, as most of us get older, we sometimes look back and say, "Yeah, you know what? Mom and Dad were right."
Yeah, and that's when I'm doing presentations on campuses, I talk about wrestling, and I talk about how, you know, adults were telling us not to wrestle,
right?
And as kids, we think we know better.
We're gonna take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sound Off on KPRL.
News, I'm Tom Graham. Israel ramping up airstrikes in Lebanon, targeting militants to their north. Fox's Mike Tobin is in Tel Aviv.
Israel's prime minister took to the airwaves and spoke directly to the people of Lebanon, telling them that the fight was not with them, rather it's with Hezbollah, as Israel has launched this punishing air campaign in the south of Lebanon.
More than 350 are dead as thousands flee southern Lebanon. The U.S. military is increasing its presence in the Middle East.
The Pentagon confirms more U.S. troops are being sent to the Middle East. It is not clear how many, though it is a small amount, according to DOD. More than 40,000 American forces are already in the region. It was even higher than that over the summer before the defense secretary sent one of two aircraft carriers back to the Asia-Pacific region. Navy warships are situated from the eastern Mediterranean to the Gulf of Oman.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America is listening to Fox News.
The customer service and workmanship at Davis Body Shop is first rate.
Jessica, who is a North County resident, talks about her experience at Davis Body Shop.
Lori, Eric, and Patrick were super helpful. Patrick did a great job ensuring that everything my car needed was done in an incredibly fast time. My car looks amazing inside and out. For body work and customer care, Davis is the best, and we would never take our cars anywhere else.
Davis Body Shop has repaired well over 80,000 vehicles since 1962, and today Davis is the longest established shop on the Central Coast. If you ever need the services of Davis Body Shop, remember, they are San Luis Obispo County's most honored, respected, and trusted auto collision specialist with two locations, on El Camino Real with a convenient enterprise car rental facility, and Davis Body Shop on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Hi, Jean, this is Anne. Remember my parents were so stressed out when they couldn't pay their bills? We are so relieved. We found attorney Rossi on Spring Street in Paso. He knows his stuff. He explained all of my parents' financial alternatives for free.
Rossi didn't charge you?
No charge. Rossi offers a free meeting to help guide people who have money problems. He says good people get into tough situations and need help. He said there are solutions to getting people out of debt, ways to save people's homes from foreclosure, and sometimes cancel tax debt and stop lawsuits and stop harassing creditor calls. Rossi says about a quarter of his clients don't need legal help to deal with their overwhelming bills.
Is he a debt consolidation attorney?
No, he said debt consolidation is usually a poor choice, but he does help clients settle lawsuits out of court. Sometimes it means filing bankruptcy, and sometimes there's other ways.
Rossi Law is right here in Paso on Spring Street across from Wells Fargo, and he offers a free initial consultation.
Welcome back to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will with you, along with our special guest, Brett Poppin, who's done a little bit of everything. He is an American disability advocate, author, substitute teacher, and he's been an Olympian and on some United States teams as well. Brett, I want to get into the part where, how many years into this did you decide that you wanted to, let me back up. Here you are, you're an athlete. You're doing very well. You're playing for the United States. And then you make a decision, or somebody comes to you and says, hey, I think you're helping younger kids in similar situations.
Yeah. Regarding my work at Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we moved to Paso in 1999, my wife and I, and I remember thinking, like, I wanted to be the person I wish I would have had for me at the hospital. I remember being 16, going through the hospital, and being scared. And I remember the doctors being amazing, the nurses, therapists, all being great. But I remember everyone getting to go home at night and feeling like nobody really understood what I was going through. And it was a very powerful feeling. I remember still being in the hospital when I was doing my rehab, thinking like, this is what I want to do. I want to be the person I wish I would have had for me and my family. Didn't know how I was going to end up doing that. Moved to Paso. Just sent out like a one-page bio on me to a lot of acute facilities within like a three-hour driving radius. That's what I thought I would be willing to commit to if I felt like it was a special enough place. And it was years later where I just got a random phone call from Valley Children saying, hey, we still have your bio here, and we have a gunshot kid who's paralyzed, and we can't get through to him. Would you be willing to volunteer and come talk to this kid?
Well, so obviously the connection and the desire. And, you know, the great thing about kids is when you're talking to them, they know if you're full of it or not.
Yeah, I think part of me going through such a tragic event with the paralysis and surgeries and rehab, when these kids at Children's Hospital are going through it, they trust me because they know I've had the surgeries, I've had the nightmares, I've been where they are at presently.
It's relatable.
It's relatable. And the kids will tell me, and again, we have amazing, I wouldn't be driving 125 miles one way to Children's Hospital for 14 years if I didn't think it was that special of a place with that, with the staff that we do have. And the kids will tell me, hey, when the doctor tells me I'm going to drive again, when the doctor tells me I'm going to go to the prom again, I'm not always sure I believe him, Mr. Poppin, but when you tell me, I believe it because you've been there. The kids get to get in my car. The kids get to see my hand controls. The kids get to see my life in different ways, whether it's books or video or movies, and it gives them that hope that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, speaking of that, you your books. When did you start writing your books?
So I went to the Paralympics in 2004 in wheelchair rugby. I wanted to challenge myself after those Paralympics and be a two-sport Paralympian. There's not a lot of people who get to be Olympian at all, and there's even fewer that get to be two-sport Olympian. So I dropped out of the rugby program, went into the tennis program for the next 4 years, qualified in 2008 for Beijing playing tennis. So that goal was met. But I wanted to be a three-time Paralympian. So in 2009, after the 2008 Paralympics, I got back into the wheelchair rugby program, and I just missed knocking people over in a wheelchair. I mean, that was the only reason I got back into the rugby program and made the team in 2009, made the team in 2010. So I was on my way to making the 2012 London team. And in 2010, I got a blood infection from overtraining. And that infection went septic. And I didn't listen to my body. I was still traveling around the world competing, sweating on airplanes, headaches. And July, in the middle of July in 2010, it went septic. And I ended up spending 7 months in a hospital bed, 24/7, with a major surgery, three IVs. And it was during that time where a teacher that I was working with in Paso Robles, I think, knew me better than I knew myself, and just wrote me an email and said, "Mijo, I want you to write a children's book while you're laying in this hospital bed." And that was the I never wrote a book before. And that was the motivating factor for me just to use my brain and write this children's story that I didn't know it ever would be a book. But during all those hours of writing, I wasn't thinking about the IVs in my arm. I wasn't thinking about being in bed for the next 6 months. So it was a blessing that she inspired me.
So these books, not only just for the general public, but also for people who, you know, obviously kids or people of any age who have come across an incident such as yours, to give the inspiration and tell the story about what they can do.
Yeah, the children's book is about a second grade. My wife's a second grade teacher in Paso. And so the book is about a second grade boy in a wheelchair. And he's the only kid at a wheel in that school on his first day. And it's about really what I go through as an adult, seen through the eyes of a second grader, about making friends, about being bullied, about people treating him different. And then with the support, ending up being the hero at the end of the book. And then the other book is my autobiography, my life story.
Extremely inspirational. And again, this is for not people, or, you know, maybe especially for people who have, again, maybe a member of their family that have come across something similar, just to show that, hey, there's hope out there. There's hope, and you can go on and have a very fulfilling life.
Yeah, I believe words are powerful, whether they're spoken or written. And I think my autobiography is just a story for people that are looking for a little inspiration, for people that are looking for hope, and just want to have something positive in their life that they could reflect on. I think that's what my autobiography does.
Where can people get a hold of the book and you to have any questions?
The books are on Amazon, so they could just search my name, Brent Poppin, and the last name is P-O-P-P-E-N. A lot of people do I-N or Poppins.
Can we go to hugsbybrent.com?
Yeah, that's my website.
Okay. Well, Brent, thank you so much for coming in and what you continue to do, especially for the children. And folks, maybe a little news story. We may be hearing him something going on in Los Angeles in a couple of years. Who knows? All right, again, thank you so much for coming in. Susanna's coming up next, and John Davidson will be the end talking about immigration. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for listening to KPRL, AM 1230 and 99.3 FM.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.